how's everything going with all of you folks out there? I'd like to welcome you all. This is Eric Whiteskai Cloud, your psychic medium and paranormal investigator, paranormal investigator. It's actually going to be kind of crappy for me sometimes when I start talking about other things, but anyways, what I'd like to share with you all is to welcome you all on this show, Between Two Worlds. I'd like to welcome also our affiliates that are on that pick up our program, the Ghost Radio up in Australia, and also the Go Ahead Began, which also picks us up in the Netherlands. APSR Radio, who supports us from Alabama and all the areas, and also welcome all those who are in our chat room today. Those of you who are actually here for the first time, my name is Derek Whiteside Cloud. I'm a psychic medium, paranormal investigator. Like, I repeat that one more time. Tonight, I actually want to talk with you folks about loss of loved ones. My father had just passed away a few days back, July 21st. He passed away of pneumonia. And I want to share my stories with you regarding my father as well. So it's more like an honorary night for my father. I lost my mom May the 10th of this year. So it's like all of a sudden, boom, boom. And I knew very well that my father was going to be leaving this world pretty quick after my mom passed away. You know how it is like when we do have loved ones that are so close to each other, especially your parents. And I'm sure a lot of you out there, too, have actually had experienced the loss of a loved one, a parent, grandparent, even probably children of your own. And also, too, any of the folks you actually want to call in, you want to ask any questions regarding this show, it's a toll-free number. So get out your crayons. It's 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. That's all from the U.S. Also in Canada, the number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also the direct line. Those who are actually calling international lines are 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Yes, anyways, just want to share the story about my father. He passed away in pneumonia, and but the experience of it was interesting because I did the psychic party the night before, and I just come home around midnight, and I walk into my office, and I can hear people's voices talking as if they're in a room, all talking together, and I thought maybe it was the television was on or the radio was on or something. I wasn't sure, and so I looked up, and nothing was on. But I can still hear voices come near my phone. Like, I have a cordless phone, but yet it's hooked up into the machine. So basically, once it's hooked up, or like, attached together, you can't hear any sound except the volume of the ringer. And yet I can hear sounds of people talking as if they're talking all in a conference room. So I called up my wife and asked her, I said, do you hear the voices? And she said, no. And I said, I'm not kidding you. I can hear voices on the phone, like in this room. And I left it at that, think, okay, well, maybe something's happening. Maybe there's a flaw in the phone line. Around 5:45 a.m. the next following morning, around quarter past six, I felt really unsettled through the night. And I got up and I walked to the washroom, and I must have sat there on the toilet for about 10 minutes, not doing anything, just somehow I just sat there, and I felt like I was very lightheaded, felt very strange. And so I got up, left the bathroom, headed back to the bedroom, and I'm laying back in bed, and I was so restless. I just, for some reason, I couldn't figure out why. And then I got a phone call that morning saying my father had passed and had pneumonia. So I can't say I wasn't devastated. I was actually, I expected it to happen. I knew Dad I remember the time my mom passed away in May the 10th. Dad was really upset the fact Mom had left, and he felt very lonely, and he didn't know what to do about his life. So he had decided to leave this world, and I've had my tears. And I wanted to say, you know, like, we've all go through that when we lose loved ones. And I had made the decision that I was going to make something better for this, my father. And so even though most people who have funeral services, I want to do a memorial for my father. So I'll be heading out to Alberta, up in Didsbury, Alberta. And this Thursday, in the afternoon around 1 o'clock. And if anybody's actually in that area of Alberta, I'll be doing a memorial service for my father. And I've actually had an open house for all my family and friends and those who actually knew my father. And I've made the decision that I was going to actually do the ceremony as well. So, you know, some people out there, they would like to, you know, sit back and let others talk about their loved ones who's passed over. But I wanted to really, I wanted to share something about my father to all of you. And he was a very interesting fellow. My dad had the strangest jobs at times. I mean, this guy, he didn't mind working. I mean, he worked hard in his life. Most fathers are totally different than it was today. I mean, yes, I'm a father, too. I have a 25-year-old son. And my work is quite interesting before I became a psychic medium. Before that, I was a carpenter and a farmer, a dairy farmer, when I was a kid growing up. And the thing about my father is he was a lumberjack, and he did the old ways. You know, you're chopping the trees and use the big, huge saws. It wasn't just the chainsaws never existed then. He was a very large man. I mean, he was very strong. And I remember when he used to work for a moving company, my father used to carry refrigerators on his back, walking upstairs into these apartments at times. So, I mean, that's how strong he was. I mean, this guy wasn't weak. And my father's hams are twice the size of mine. I mean, they were huge ham hocks. I mean, huge. So, I've always been proud of my father. And we really actually didn't have much to say to each other through the years because my father did not really knew how to say I love you to me since I, probably until I hit 40 when I asked him why he never spoke to me by saying love. And he just never knew how. My father left home when he was 12. He had a grade 2 education, just a grade 2 education. But, I mean, Dad, he actually worked for another farmer until he became of age enough where he can actually work for himself for another company. And then my father started, and then he worked for another company up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. He worked for a company called Community Chevrolet, which he became an auto body man. And that's a little bit before he met my mom. And they got married in 1932, July 16th. And then they had me. I'm the oldest. And then they had my sister and my other brother, but he passed away when he was a baby. But it was interesting life being with our family. And Mom and Dad got married in 1955. I was born in 56. So Mom wasn't pregnant before that, so there was no purpose having to get married. And my wife is sitting next to me here in this room. It's pretty cool. She said she wasn't going to listen to me. She's got her headset on. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, sorry. Mom and Dad did not get married back in 32. Mom and Dad were born in 32, 1932. That tells you that actually they're ancient. Oh, my God. See what happens? You talk about somebody that you love, you tend to not get your head straight at once in a while. Anyway, yes, I mean, normally I'm pretty good at what I know, but yeah, my mom and dad got married in 1955, July 16th, and they had the most strangest wedding. I mean, theirs was a three-day wedding. A typical is the Ukrainian type of wedding. You celebrate for 3 days. And I'm going to tell you the story. It's absolutely funny. My mom, I mean, she's only been married once and didn't really know what being married is all about and having to celebrate. But Mom used to tell me there was actually this little guy walking around with a teapot, and she thought he was handing out tea. So she had a small little cup, lesser than the size of your average teacup, and this elderly fellow used to pour the small, looked like a clear liquid in that cup, and my mom used to kick it back thinking it was just tea. Well, my mother got hammered on home brew. She said it was so kicked that she said it used to make her toes curl upwards. So my mom got hammered for about 3 days. I find it funny because you wouldn't hear of that, you know. But Mom said she would never trade anything. Mom and Dad had been married for 52 years. It would have been 52 years this year. Mom passed away just before, shy of 52 years of July the 16th. But I did preside a wedding for them. I helped them renew their nuptials after 50 years. I was playing the minister for them. And my mom and dad, when they got married, they had my cousin Sharon, who was 8 years old. She was the flower girl. And after the 50 years, my cousin Sharon showed up again after 50 years, and she reenacted that role as the flower girl. So it was kind of cool for mom, because here all of a sudden this whole thing's happening all over again. It was absolutely fabulous. And we actually had it recorded on video. So it's a memory that I can keep. And I decided to do a lot of video, or not as much video, but enough video and a lot of photographs of my family. You got to have those memories. They're absolutely important, because if you don't take pictures or don't do videos of your family, I'm telling you, I don't care if you're with the guy or with the girl for maybe 10 years, it's good to keep history, and it's good to keep and get to know your stories that your family has passed down to you. Because I'll tell you one thing, once your parents have gone and you've got questions to ask, and you know, you're saying, you know, mom, what did you do in a certain time? Well, if you don't ask them before they pass away, you'll never know. And it was important that a parent has to share with you. I mean, sometimes we have a lot of young ones, young people who they feel they cannot spend a time of day with their parents too often. And sometimes, you know, because you're young, you know, either whether in your 20s or 30s, but you will begin to appreciate the fact that that you have so much to give back to your family. You know, if your parents are supporting you all your life and trying to help you as much as they possibly can, and whether you've had a hard time yourself or hardship, your parent always gave back to you, and they're never expecting nothing back from you. All they want back from you is just love. And they're not the kind of parents, these parents I had never had to buy me love. I mean, my mom and dad, and we're really close. We loved each other very much. We always talked as much as we possibly could. I lived far away from them when I moved on at 19. They were living in Alberta, and I was living in British Columbia, which is approximately about 16 hours away, and in another province. But, I mean, it's about 1,700, 1,800 miles. My sister lived close by, so she can actually spend more time with them when she wants to. And but we tried to keep in contact much as possible. My father always loved to have me chat with them all the time. And I always love to have my dad around me, you know, at times. He was a very interesting fellow. Other things too he did was, well, we became dairy farmers after we left France in Manitoba. We used to live in Manitoba when I was raised there. I was born there, Brandon. And when we left Manitoba, we came to Alberta in 1970. And we came to Calgary, lived there for a bit, about 6 months to a year. Then we moved into a smaller town. Dad wanted to get us involved back into the farming community. My father had that knowledge, and we became dairy farmers for a while. And then my father, and when I turned 19 years old, years later, and I left the farm, my dad, I decided to go into the restaurant business. I wanted to own my own restaurant, and at 19. And then, I would say about 6 months after, my father wanted to know very well that he couldn't keep the farm going, so he made the decision by leaving it and selling all the animals. And then he just asked me if he can actually become a partner. So dad and mom became partners of mine in the restaurant business. My dad has always wanted to find out what it's like owning a restaurant. So he became very successful because my dad was a fabulous cook. And he make everything all old-fashioned. Like, you know, you're raised in a family that were Ukrainian and Polish, so you knew a lot of those particular recipes and cabbage rolls and bulgogis, simple things. And then, you know, all kinds of things my father used to invent. And he was famous for his hamburgers. Oh, man, I'm telling you, the juice from the hamburger would just melt in your mouth when you're eating them. But he was good at it. He knew how to cook. My father was a fabulous cook. But the restaurant I had was not what you call a typical fine restaurant. It actually was a truck stop for truckers and for farmers. So basically, we would start at 7 in the morning, open the doors, and we'd be closing around 6 o'clock. And that was about it. You know, basically, that's what it was. I mean, it was a simple truck stop, but it was a really good meals, all home-cooked meals. It wasn't just your instant food. My father did not believe in instant food. And everybody loved it, and my father became quite famous with his work and for his food. We packed the restaurant. And then I got into a relationship with the young woman that I met, who I married later on down the road. But the relationship between the young woman and my mom and dad did not work out, so I decided to move on. I let mom and dad take over the restaurant. So I moved on my life, and I decided to work for the oil field. And mom and dad, I guess dad... wasn't done all of his work because I guess one of the guys who worked in town for a sports center loved my father's food so much and asked him if he would work for a curling rink and to do work out of a small nighttime selling burgers again. So my father, in the very same town, he would sell burgers at night and burgers in the day, you know, at his own restaurant. So he was pretty busy for a while. And then it comes to the point where mom had made decisions saying, you know what, it's been about 4 or 5 years or 6 years that we've been in the restaurant business. It's time to step down from this. Mom felt that they needed to spend more time together because they weren't getting enough time with each other. So dad stepped away from it, and somebody called him up, heard about his excellent meal. Dad says that he thought he'd be getting away from the restaurant business. My father got called up by the oil riggers up north and out north of Alberta, and they asked him if he would like to be a camp cook in the oil rigs. So my father was a rigger. He worked as a camp cook in the oil rigs for a couple of years way up north. And I'm telling you, like I said, he became quite famous for his food. But he always missed the farm. My dad always missed the farm. He always wanted to stay with the cows. And, I mean, I learned a lot being on the farm myself. I learned a lot of the veterinary ways of life. I mean, I milked cows when I was a kid growing up. I knew my cattle. I knew we had cattle, we had pigs, we had chickens, we had geese, we had ducks, oh, a lot of dogs, and a mixture of cats. I mean, that's your mixture. We had some sheep, not much, just maybe three or four. But we actually killed our own animals, we ate our own food. It was all natural. So we learned a lot. I mean, we had our own eggs, had our own garden. Our gardens were bigger than the ones you see today. I mean, nothing, nowhere near what you would see anywhere else. So I couldn't believe the other day, someone told me, or actually I learned something about a year ago. Someone told me now you have to have a license to be a farmer. I can't believe it. You have to have a license to be a farmer. And I said, why? Because if by some chance you decide to sell some chickens' eggs, or if you decide to sell some milk on the farm, which now it's illegal to sell milk unless you are, basically you have to have a license. Because the government wants to get their nose into everything. You know, they want to control everything. Or if you have any vegetables that are spare and you want to sell vegetables, they want to make sure you don't poison somebody with your carrot. So I was in shock. I mean, I couldn't believe it. That's why a lot of farmers are packing it in out there right now, because a lot of them can't survive. Because the government tells them you have to have a license. So, I mean, my father is... he used to go fishing with my mom and my sister, but I never did get a chance to go fishing with my dad. He used to go fishing with his dad. I wasn't around then when my dad was fishing, but before my dad passed away, maybe about a year before that, he said, you know, we got to go fishing sometime. But my father got sick. He couldn't walk after, and he ended up in a wheelchair. Well, he had bad lungs. I mean, he kept smoking for all these years. He was on an oxygen tank, and he had that hang, you know, around the little plastic tube around his nose half the time. But my father, you know, a doctor can tell him to quit smoking, and he did quit smoking, but my father still had a way to have that smell of tobacco or taste of it, so he started chewing chaw. Well, he would actually hide his Copenhagen. And he's telling everybody, oh, I don't smoke anymore, but I still taste my old Copenhagen. Well, one time my father got somebody to buy him some cigarettes. And my dad wasn't thinking. And he went to light up a cigarette and forgot to take his plastic oxygen nose tube out of his nose. And when he lit up the cigarette, his nostrils were on fire. So he burnt the hairs on the inside of his nose. He learned his lesson not to do that ever again. And he didn't. But it's been done. People have gone through that before. It's hilarious, you know, when you have a parent that does some pretty funky things. Dad had a bad back he fell from a semi-truck, top of a semi-truck, many, many years ago when I was young, up in Brandon. He used to work as an auto body man. He used to paint cars for a company called Community Chevrolet. For quite a few years, and this man knew a lot of his things, a lot of his stuff, and he had two jobs. He did two jobs because to keep us kids clothed and fed and roof over our head, and even my mother worked as well. And dad was on top of a semi truck, and I guess there's a couple of guys up there that were working with him, but two guys were goofing around. They bumped my father off the top of the truck and landed on his square on his back on concrete floor. And he hurt his spine. So dad was out of work for about a month or two, so he was able to get back on his feet. And back in those years, back in the 60s, there was no chiropractor. There was just a doctor and painkillers. And most of the painkillers were whatever they could give you, and most of them was actually morphine or something. I'm not sure if it was anything else on top of that. But eventually dad's pain wasn't as much as it used to be, but he kept on working, you know, and he tried to make the best of it. But he always tried to learn something new, do something different. And he always makes sure he put his heart into it. And he was proud of that. Especially with my dad, he could actually pick up a fridge. I mean, I'm not talking about you guys that you have. What we have now, refrigerators that we have now are nowhere near what the weight of a refrigerator was back in the 60s. The refrigerators in the 60s were way much heavier, twice as heavy. They're apparently supposed to be about 350 to 400 pounds a piece. My father carried this thing with straps. You know, the straps you put over your shoulders, as if you're carrying a pack sack. That way, but he had these things wrapped around the refrigerator, and he was walking up 3, 4, 10, 12 flights of stairs to get the refrigerator into someone's suite. There wasn't elevators back then. These were just carrying them upstairs, because a lot of high-rises did not have those. And then in my dad's second job, and we had Brandon, he actually at nighttime, he used to work as a bouncer and a waiter. Now, back then, those years, back in the 60s, you had to have a license to be a waiter. So you had to apply for it, and you had to take a test to know the law. And the men and women that were licensed waiters and waitresses, they had to wear these silver badges. They looked like detective badges in a way. But it had a number on there, and the code, like the company, the liquor board, and they had a number on there. That was their number, and they had to wear that on their shirt, on their lapel or on their shirt, and they had to show the public that they actually were working for liquor bar. And it was interesting how it worked out. But the funny part of it is, my father one night kept on being bugged by this big, tall, native fellow. And dad would say he was about 6'6", 6'8". Mom was telling me the story, actually. And mom was watching this, and my father was only 5'10", but my dad weighed about 225. And this guy was like maybe double the size of my father. And he walked up to my father, and he says, I don't like you, Grant. He says, I think you're ugly. You know, he says, I don't like you. He says, I'm going to kick your ass. That was his words. I'm going to kick your ass. Dad didn't say nothing. He just says, you know what? Why waste your time? Go sit down and enjoy your beer. You know, don't bother me. He says, I got people to serve. And I guess when Dad was carrying the tray of beer, and the guy stuck his foot out and tripped my father, my dad got up, picked up the beer, went to the tray, it was all spilled, went to the counter, and walked up to the guy and told him, "You tripped me on purpose, you pay for it." The guy said, "I told you, I don't like you, and I'm not going to pay for it." And Dad says, "I'm fine, you're out of here." The guy says, "I'm not leaving." The guy raised his arm, and he took a long strike at my father. I'm literally, honest to God, my mom watched this, I mean, a lot of people did, they were totally floored. That guy took a strong swing with his fist right at my father's face, and my father stuck his palm out, flat palm out, and caught the guy's fist in midstream. And he grabbed it by the other side of his wrist, and he brought his knee up, and he broke his arm, his wrist right over his knee, pushed the guy to the floor, and told him to leave now and never to come back here ever again. And the guy got up, and he dragged himself outside. He screamed at my father, "You broke my arm, you broke my arm." Dad says, "Well, you deserve that. Next time, you'll learn." Dad went back to work as if nothing ever happened. And the guy left. The next day he came back. The native fellow came back. He walked up to my father, tapped him on the shoulder. My dad says, "Now what do you want?" He says, "Grant," he says, "you're okay. If you ever need anything, I'm right there with you. Let me know." He says, "You're my best friend." And you know what? To this day, my father and him we're actually best friends. Does it take to kick someone's butt to be a best friend? I mean, but this is the way it was back then, those years. My father, and they became close. They were really good friends. But I guess sometimes my father had to bring people down a peg or two once in a while. He was a very passive man. He never looked for a fight. He taught me how to keep the peace and not to look for the fight, not to cause a fight. And in fact, he never even taught me how to fight back. My father used to always say, "Avoid all that, you know, avoid the swings, just walk away." And so I learned that from my father, I'll just walk away from a fight. My mom, she was the opposite. My mother was a biker back in the 60s. She used to ride Harleys. She had one of her own, and she was riding then before she met my dad. And now here's something strange too that my mom told me one time. She says that her and her mother went to see a lady who actually did tea leaf reading. Her mom wanted to take her to this lady, and mom sat in front of her, and this lady told her that she'll meet a man who will meet him and marry him by the initials GW. And mom says, "Yeah, right, sure, because my mom was already with somebody else at the time, and she was riding with this other guy, and they already made plans, we were going to get married and all that. But fate changed all that. It really did. Fate changed it, because the man himself that my mom was engaged to at the time got into a bike motorcycle accident, crashed into a telephone pole, and became a vegetable. He damaged his skull and became a vegetable. There's no way mom would have been able to marry him. And so mom had to make a decision, so she moved on. She couldn't take care of be with the fellow anymore, because he didn't even know her after that. But mom kept that story. She kept that history of it. She kept pictures of the guy that she used to care for, used to love. And about 6 months later, she met my father, and his initial was GW. And mom said that within 6 months, they got married. And it was interesting that, because mom and dad used to argue all the time. Mom was always known to be a hothead. She liked to take command of everything. She had some native blood in her, that's why. Being Métis means, you know, the half-breed. My mom, I didn't realize, we didn't really know mom had Aboriginal blood at the time. We suspected it, but mom didn't want to say anything. And but mom was the one that had the history of having a short temper, and dad was the one that was very passive, laid back. But mom and dad used to always argue half the time. And the funny thing was that one time, I guess they argued so bad, and the dad sat in the car, and he looked at mom, and he said, "Do you want to get married?" And mom said, "Sure." Boom, like that, like, you know, not a proposal on the knee, bend the knee, here's a ring, you know, let's get married. Like, Dad says, let's get married. The best thing we ever did. So they got married. They had me. It was a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing for them. But, I mean, I watched my mom and dad grow through the years. I mean, they always respected each other. They had their hard times once in a while. I mean, we all had hard times in our lives. And mom and dad wanted to change things. And my uncle Norris, which is my mom's brother, was living in Alberta. And he became a rancher. And he had horses, ranch with horses. And the guy had Egyptian Arabs and different types of breeds of horses. And he used to show horses. So I guess my uncle Norris called my mom up one day and said, you should come up to Alberta and move up here, you know, and you'll enjoy your life even more. He says, get out of that old city of being who you once were in the past. He says, you'll have a better life here. So I guess it didn't take much for mom to be convinced, and dad went along with it. That's okay, well, let's do it. So they came up to Alberta, and they moved there. And mom and dad never looked back. And then dad wanted to move to B.C., find out what it was like to be in B.C., up in here in Vancouver area, and they were up here for about maybe about back, and that was back in 1964. They moved up here. I remember that year so well. That's the year of Walt Disney when he passed away. I remember seeing on TV, Walt Disney passed away, and I was, oh my God, you know, everybody's all freaking and crying. Walt Disney passed away. But I remember that year so well. And so when mom didn't want to stay long, mom said that she kept getting dreams about her mom. And that's when her mom was alive at the time, and she said she had a dream of her mom sitting up in a coffin crying. So mom knew there was something was wrong. So she wanted to go back to Brandon to go see her mom. So they went back there, and her mom passed away before she got there, my grandma. So when we got there, everybody's crying. Everybody's all upset that grandma passed away, and I'm standing there like, what are you guys crying for? Like, why are you so upset? Well, grandma passed away. Okay. And everybody's crying, and they're so sad. But here I'm seeing my grandma. I'm just looking back, and I can see my grandma in spirit. I mean, to me, I was thinking spirit. I knew she was there. I could feel her. Grandma says, it's okay. You can cry, you know. Go along with it. Oh, okay. You're going to join them, you know. So I cried. I remorse. I mean, I have a hard time not lasting long to cry in tears. I mean, it's not being disrespectful. It's just that you just somehow know. You just know that everything's okay. You know, like, sure, the physical body is not there when they're living any longer, but you know very well they're just there. You just feel them. And that's what I got. I mean, I felt my grandma there, and when my grandma passed, my mom's mom, when my grandfather died, I felt that too. I knew he was around. My other grandfather, my other grandmother, I knew they were around. You know, like, it was just, I just knew they were around me. When it was for me, for my father, for my mother, for my sister, family. When my little brother passed away, he was 6 months old. He died of a crib death. My father felt so responsible about it. And my mom still carried that pain. When my mom passed away, before she passed away, about 2 weeks before, my mom kept saying to me that she kept seeing Garnet. My brother's name was Garnet. And she kept seeing Garnet in her dreams, seeing, coming, visiting her all the time. And he has a big, huge smile on his face. Hi, Mom, how are you? But he didn't look like a baby at 6 months. But Mom somehow knew that it was him. And he looked very young, but a young man. And he was just nothing but smiles. And Mom kept saying, you're beautiful. You look so beautiful. And because she missed him. And And then for a few more days, Mom would say she was seeing her mom and her dad visiting her again in dreams too. And Mom asked me why they're visiting her so much. I said, they're just coming to say hello, Mom, to say, because they love you and they care for you. I knew. I didn't want to say to my mom, Mom, you're going to leave this world in a matter of 2 weeks. I knew, because I was supposed to keep it to myself. And my mom had a best friend, Rose Campo, who was her best friend. And she died suddenly of a drug overdose that was not compatible to her body. It wasn't an addiction. It was actually a prescribed drug that was given to her by her doctor, and he gave her the wrong prescription. and it killed her within a matter of minutes. And my mom wanted to go to the funeral, and my sister wouldn't take her. My sister thought my mom wouldn't be able to handle it, and see, it was my thing with my father. They both wanted to go, because they're both wheelchair bound. Well, not totally wheelchair bound. Mom couldn't walk very well, but they always had a wheelchair available. Mom was in the lodge, Dad was in the lodge, and I wasn't here at the time. I wasn't in Alberta. I was in BC. But if I had known my sister was not going to take me to the funeral, then I would have done it myself. But my sister didn't do it, but yet she went to the funeral to represent the family, and I thought it was very, I didn't think it was right. But that's my way my sister felt. She thought she was going to save Mom the headache or the problem or the sadness by not having to see it. And it actually got Mom upset, and Mom became silent after that, and she suddenly had a slow stroke. And then I went to see her before she passed, and I watched her pass. But Mom knew I was there. She knew I was right by her side. Because if anybody goes into a coma, you can still talk to them. If you go into a state that's between this world and that world, you just know you can still communicate with them. You just feel it. And that was important. And there was also... part of my father passing, I wasn't there to see him pass because, like I said, I was not told until after. And my dad was waiting for me to come down. The last words my father said, "I'll see you in 2 weeks." That's the last words I heard from my father. I was talking to him a couple days before that, but I didn't say to him, "I'll be coming in 2 weeks." I said, "I'll be coming. Just give me a couple of days. I'll be trying to come down." I couldn't make it because my vehicles were being fixed. You know, sometimes you think that you need to feel guilty, thinking, okay, I could have done something else. I could have fixed this. I could have fixed that. I could have changed my mind. I should have come earlier, and things would have been better. You know what? It makes no difference if you make it there on time or don't make it there on time. It is considered as God's will, because basically we are given a specific journey, and that is that sometimes spirit has a way, and that we weren't supposed to be there to see it happen. But we're not supposed to carry that guilt either, because you already know. And I get clients constantly telling me that, you know, they'll say to me, "Well, you know, my mom passed away or my dad passed away. Are they angry with me because I didn't make it to the funeral? Are they angry with me because I wasn't there at the hospital?" No. They never are. I've never come across anyone who has passed away who's angry because they didn't show up. They all understand the fact that you could not make it, or because there was just, you were obligated by other means. And only if you didn't care about them, period, well, they wouldn't be angry. They'd be sad about that. Different story. But I would never carry a guilt feeling whatsoever. I don't care who you are. I would never carry a guilt feeling regarding anything, what they've done in life. And I feel myself that I've done more for my parents than anybody has ever owed me. Basically, anybody who's in this business, you know, like I said before. I have no remorse, no guilt feeling about my parents. And I really love my father, I love my mother, and, you know, I was thinking to myself, a friend of mine just sent me an email just today, and he said to me, he said, "You realize it was very strange that your children come into your life, and now you're the grandparent when your parents leave." And that's true, because now you become the elder in training. You're no longer the elder in training. You are the elder. You don't have a grandparent. You don't have a parent to look to anymore as far as living is concerned. You don't have your mother there now with you. Well, yeah, on a human way of thinking, probably. But if you know very well that you're talking to your parents all the time, guess what? It's going to work. And I know I can talk to my mom as often as I want to. I can talk to my grandfather, my grandmother, whoever comes through. And I've had people come through and visit me. You know, it's not the first time, won't be the last. But I'm going to make a trip up to Alberta this tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I'm heading up there. And I'm going to be there for my father's memorial, and I'm going to be talking about other things as well, about my dad, and as well as my mom. There's so much to share with everybody out there, and just to get to know some of the relatives that I haven't seen for a lot of years, probably about maybe, oh God, last time I've seen most of my relatives when I was 16, and I'm 50 years old now, so it'll be about a good 34 years. So they'd be surprised what I would look like. Most of them see me as a skinny little kid, or, you know, not anymore. I was just a big kid. But, you know, it'd be nice to see them all because, you know, like I said, you don't know how long you get to know them either, you know, whether they're going to be around you or not. But I'm going to be looking forward to seeing all my relatives, and I know very well online here I have some of my relatives listening to me on radio here. I like to thank you guys for listening in and knowing about some of the things I've been sharing with you. I know we're all related, because in our traditional ways we always say all my relations, because we're giving thanks to all our relations, all those who are even not related to us, but at least we have a relation from spirit. And we have a lot of fun on radio. The show is called Between Two Worlds, those who are just coming in. The radio show, as basically said tonight, today I'm actually, those who are coming on to the chat room, as well as as far as our radio show is concerned. The radio show is actually dedicated to my father, because he passed away July 21st at 6 a.m. This year, and I'm just dedicating for him to him. Now, I also do work as a psychic medium, so if you guys want to phone in, we've got a few more minutes here. I've got about 50 votes. We've got a caller. Who we got here?
Brenda Rose.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brandon, Manitoba.
Brandon, Manitoba?
Yes, where Derek said where he was born.
I'm sorry, say it again?
Where he said he was born.
I was born in Brandon, yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay, I'm talking to Derek. I didn't realize that.
You're talking to me. Who am I talking to?
What I was calling for is I have a sister-in-law that just started, I don't know whether I call it channeling or a medium.
Okay.
And she's talking to our her parents, so my in-laws, and my parents just recently passed, just like yours did. Mine just passed this winter.
Yes.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And she said she can see them and she can talk to them. Now, is that normal, or do you normally can't remember who you talk to?
Well, it depends. Now, you're saying that they're not sure if they're really talking to them or not?
Well,
or are they positive they're talking to them?
She's positive she's talking to them, but when I ask questions that happened in my life with them, like with my parents?
Yes.
I don't get the correct answer.
Okay. It's possibly that may mean that may not be always what the parent could be. A parent can also relate messages through someone else, but could also mean the message could be for someone else. I'll give you an example. When you're in a room full of people and you're giving a message to one person in that room, may not always be directly to that one person alone, because you can have five or six people in the very same room who has a very similar name of a father or a mother in the same lineup. I've actually had three or four women who are in the very same row, all lined up. Their father's name was Bill, their mother's name had Ann, and their uncle's name had Charlie. Now, you try and figure that one, and yet when I gave one of those four ladies the messages, they all said it all related to them, except when I kept on talking and telling more, each individual person understood the message, even though they're not sure if it was exactly pertaining the message.
Okay.
Okay? So it doesn't mean the person's wrong. It's just that mean that you are in the same energy or vibration as that, the names of people who are lined up to that particular, I guess you'd say, message. So if there's going to be a Charlie and a Bill and an Ann connected to the same person, and there's four ladies in a row, why did they all sit together at the same time? They never knew each other. Right? But they felt they were led to sit together. So once in a while, if you feel that you've had a relative that that wants to come through and that relative is supposed to give you that message, I would say trust what feels right for you, let it filter through your heart, and you'll know exactly what the message means. Sometimes we may misunderstand what the message always means to us, but it may mean something else in the near future.
Okay, when you hear the people talking to you that have passed, can you remember afterwards? Like, it's not that you go into a trance and don't remember what they say. You remember all the time?
The only thing happens to me, if I give somebody a message from someone who's passed, a lot of times I don't remember what I said after because it comes out so fast. It's like blah, 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 blah. You know, like you're like, it's like as if they are taking your voice, your vocal cord, and they're telling you what that person has to say, and if they ask you to repeat that again, you're going like, what did I say? Because their energy is in a hurry. They want to talk about other things besides repeating it. Unless it's absolutely necessary, they want you to know. But most of the time, if I ever open my mouth, which gets me in trouble sometimes too, if I do share that with a person and tell them what the message means, and I'll say, that's why I like to record it on recorders. You know, tape recorders. So if you ever get a tape recorder, always have one on hand or a digital recorder. Have a small one. You can get the really micro ones now you can get. And have them on hand. And if anybody ever gives you a message, say, can you repeat that again? And keep that as a message. And it will help you a whole lot more knowing what the answer will be as far as results are concerned.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, anybody gives you a message for something, I mean, I've had people call me back and, you know, 3 weeks or 2 weeks or a month or a year later and said, you said this, and you said this, and you said this. And I went, did I? Really? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But if they try to get me to remember, I'm going like, maybe, you know, because you don't expect to remember thousands of people that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I've worked with so many clients. I probably average around possibly 3 clients a day, 4 clients a day.
Okay.
Average maybe 5 weeks or 5 days of the week. So you add that up in a year.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's about how many
you do. And that doesn't count
the
psychic parties you do on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And that averages between 6 to 12 people.
Hmm.
You know, and then you got your church services that you're sharing with people that are, you know, 300-400 in a room or 50 in a room. You know, so it depends. You just become the messenger and just go with what you get.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How much do you charge for?
I charge $100 an hour.
Okay.
For my work, and if you ever want to get a phone reading, I'd have it on my website. Now, if you want to see what I do, go to my website, whiteskycloud.com. It's whiteskycloud.com. And the reason why I have the name White Sky Cloud is because my elders gave it to me.
It means one who sees
the other side. And they told me that I had to use it in a legal way. So basically it's to let people know this is who I am. But it is part of my Aboriginal background, on my mother's side of the family. And I carry great pride on both sides of our side, from being other European, Irish, Scottish, Polish, Ukrainian. I'm just a 57 mix, you know, that kind of person. But I enjoy learning of all my cultures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what's your background?
Pardon?
What is your background?
I'm German, Scottish, Irish, and French.
See? A good mix. That, you know what, we always take pride of who we are of all backgrounds because it's a good thing to learn from all aspects. If we think about this, our relatives have traveled from all parts of the world and have met each other and married each other and became a family that way.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we have Canada, you know, where it became a multicultural country where there's no really specific race, there shouldn't be no racism involved.
Okay.
Where everyone now, today, is not like it used to be back in the past, where right now cultural differences are not as bad as it used to be, where it's so welcomed. I mean, there's going to be a time in this life that we actually will have one complete skin color, we're all become one.
That's right.
And then no one has no problem, and they won't call themselves Scottish or Irish or this or that to become themselves human beings again.
Yeah, that's the right way.
Right?
That's the correct way.
Yeah. Lots of things to work with.
Oh, right. Well, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to listen to me and talk to me.
You're welcome.
Okay. And I do like your show. I've listened to it a few times now, and I enjoy it very much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can also listen to the archives. We have archives on as well, so you can always go back to the show and listen to it if you're not too sure. If you want to check us out, check my stuff out. Actually, we're going to actually have a fellow coming in on next week, and his name is Dr. J. Lee Sharon. This man is from Russia.
Oh.
And we're going to be talking to someone from Russia. We're actually talking to a guy in Russia, and he's a paranormal investigator, and he actually has written a book, and the book is called Footprints in the Snow, and it's all to do with paranormal investigating and the ghosts that we have in that country, and he considers it one of the most haunted countries in the world, next to Manitoba.
Next to Manitoba?
Next to Manitoba. Manitoba is considered one of the most haunted provinces in Canada.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the highest, most... Because it's the immigration and the settlement started back in the 1600s in Manitoba.
Oh, really?
So it's had that much history.
Hmm.
Yeah, BC is not as old. It's probably late 1700s, 1800s.
Right.
So Manitoba's got more history next to Ontario as far as spirits are concerned. Very lively.
Hmm.
And you also had a famous medium that was very famous in Manitoba that actually was doing seances there, and a lot of people used to come and see her all the time.
Who was that?
Well, you know what? I forgot her name. If you look under the word Manitoba medium and under Google search engine, a famous medium in Manitoba used the word seances. And you'll find out who she was. She was very famous in her work. I would say back in the early 1930s and 1940s. So she was well known for her work.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's been great to have you on.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye for now.
Take care.
Take care.
Yeah, these things do happen. So anyways, folks, I thank you very much for listening to the show, Between Two Worlds, and thank you for listening to my story about my father. I've always wanted to do this for my family, and I did honor my mother when she passed away on this radio show, and I wanted to do this for my father, so I thank you for listening in. And if you folks ever want to send me feedback, please do, on bbsradio.com, on go to my page, Between Two Worlds, and send me a feedback. And basically, it lets the radio program and radio station know that you guys are listening in, and also what your opinions are. And if you have any questions you want to ask, or if you have anything that you want, anybody that you want to know about, let us know, and we're going to try and see if we can get him on to come on the show. Okay? So next week we have Dr. J. Lee Sharon, and like I said before, he actually is a paranormal investigator. He's called a skeptic, so I'm going to have this guy on because he actually did the paranormal investigating, so he didn't really believe in this until he decided to do the research, so it's going to be a lot of fun to look at. And you can go to my page as well, also whiteskycloud.com. You can see some of the things that I actually have in there. I have photographs set up on some of the orbs and spirits that have actually been around. We have also friends that are been listening to our show. They're from the U.S. and Canada and across the world. Thank you, folks, for listening in. It's been absolutely fabulous to have you listening to the show. It's been over a year now since I've had this show, and I continue on hanging on to it for as long as I possibly can. And with your support, it's great to have you guys listening in. So I'd like to thank you, folks, for listening on Pal Talk, as well as BBS Radio chat room and the Pal Talk chat room. And in between time, in the meantime, this is it. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, talking to you from Between Two Worlds. I'll see you guys next week. You all take care. Bless you all. Bye.
what's up, peoples? This is the Worderer, and you can peep my flow at thewerderer.com. But right now, I'm just tuned in listening to the biggest of the big dogs of internet radio. I'm talking BBS Radio, because you're done, though. If it ain't mainstream, then it's gotta be on BBSRadio.com. Roof.
BBSRadio.com, medium that transcends the third dimension. BBSRadio.com embraces the fourth dimension, promotes natural alternative health, spreads joy. BBSRadio.com, free energy, spirituality, honesty, and truth. BBSRadio.com.